The numbers told the story, they always do.
He's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin in the hizzy. I look over at Kelly every few seconds and he's fist pumping over there. Pumped about his bets right now. Brooks Koepka, Brooks through 10. Now in his second round, 3 under on the day, 3-stroke lead over Jason Day and Victor Hovland and John Rahm, the latter of which, Hovland and Rahm, have yet to tee off on the day.
I think he missed a shortish birdie putt, though, so I'm a little upset by that. Although I think this might have been his drive that I'm looking at that just hit off of a tree and went back into the fairway, so yeah, I'll take that bounce.
So he's getting good kicks.
Yeah, getting good bounces, too.
Good kicks, too. Oh, man. Well, the nice thing about doing shows from here at the lovely tip of the strip, the majestic South Point Hotel Casino on the tip of the strip, is that people stroll on in when they're in town and talk sports betting with us. Today, no different. We get to talk hockey with Jonathan Davis, who's the host of not one but two podcasts, the Ice Cap podcast on SiriusXM NHL and host of Show Me the Money podcast as well. Joining us in studio, kind enough to do so. How you doing, man? Nice to meet you.
I'm great to meet you. Doing great. Yeah, you know, I figured I don't usually go to bed until about 8 a.m., 9 a.m., so I just figured I'd just continue from the night. And
is that true?
No, that's not.
Okay. I was going to say, wow, Jonathan, you're something else. that's not true at all. Let me just ask you this before we get into sort of macro hockey things.
Sure.
14 games yesterday, 0 today.
Yeah.
Why do they do that?
I've been told, someone had suggested that there was a variety of holidays today. I don't know, is it Easter weekend?
Is it Tu B'Shvat? Can you check in?
Yeah.
I asked, so what did I ask?
Hatzimea, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much.
I asked Jay Kahn or Andy McNeil this, and the response I got was they always don't play games on the Friday before the final Saturday of the season.
But it's not the final
Saturday.
It's
next week.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. It's the second to last Saturday. I don't know. Well, that was the response I got.
Well, it's Passover. It's Easter on Sunday, right?
Right.
Yes. Okay. So. I am with you guys. I would think it's something to do with the holidays.
It's recovering from the second Seder. That's really what it
is. That's exact. Jonathan, you are my man already. This is off to a good start.
Yeah.
All right. So I had a segment yesterday with Jake Hahn, and I want to ask some of the same questions. But let's start with something we were talking about off air, because we didn't get to this with him yesterday, which is Vegas Golden Knights, a fine season. But, you know, walking around anecdotally around hockey people, a lot of the things that have been said about them revolve around the word fraudulent. Like, they're really good in the standings, but no one really believes in them. Do you share that opinion?
I understand why people are saying it. I truly do. I mean, because, but here's the thing. What they have done is they protect their goalies. So what I mean by that is that they block a lot of shots in the simplest terms, and they make life easier for their goalies. And not to say that their goalies aren't good, but they don't allow a lot of high-quality scoring chances. So the style of hockey that they play reduces the amount of good opportunities that the opposition gets. You can't do it over, we're now 79 games into the season, and be fraudulent. You can maybe do it after over 20.
You can't say that's unsustainable.
Right.
If you've done it for a whole year.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're doing this without arguably their best player, their captain, Mark Stone. They're a team. The other thing that, you know, the big difference between last year and this year, and talking to a bunch of Golden Knights people, is that it's a much closer group. They were a fractured group inside that room. And I think that, you know, in any team sport, your guys have to be willing to die on a sword for each other. And that's what this group is.
If we gave ownership truth serum, would they tell you they regret the Gallant firing?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Yeah. I think that, you know, look, every coach has a shelf life.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the way that, you know, I think it... Gerard's a great guy. They've now ended up with Bruce Cassidy. They got themselves a really good coach. Would they have liked to maybe done things differently? Possibly.
Yeah.
But I think you got to keep looking forward.
It is quite unique to hockey, though, that we're even at maybe not peak success, but still successful, teams will more casually let coaches go in a different direction, to use that phrase.
Yeah.
Than in other sports, the Capitals obviously did that as well, right? Where you're sort of like, wow, you just want a cup and now you're not going to pay? So, I don't know. It's interesting about hockey that is the case.
Yeah. I mean, look, I the way Vegas has done a lot of things. Now, here's the thing. You know, Vegas gets criticized for bring people, players in and players out. They will tell you that if you look back at the same, over the same time period from when they started to where they're at today, and you look at the amount of players that are on their roster from day one to now, it's quite comparable to most teams around the league.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's get into, okay, so let's start with the Bruins. The Bruins just won their 61st game yesterday. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
The record is 62. They look like they're going to break that, games and points.
Yeah.
Yet we know that the NHL playoffs tends to be a crapshoot by, you know, by comparison to some other sports. Do you think, because the other teams that have won 60 games, only one of them won the cup, the 76-77 Canadiens.
Yeah.
Do you believe this team wins the cup, or is their path fraught with challenges? And if so, what's the team most likely to bounce them?
I think the team that's most likely, if they get there, could be New Jersey. I think it's going to be hard for any team to beat Boston in a seven-game series. You want to take, you know, one off like the NCAA tournament, mm-hmm. you can get your St. Peter's type teams. But seven is, you know, a seven-game series is tough. I think New Jersey is built to be able to beat them the way they've got a great blue line. They're very fast. Their goalie, I'm not sure about. But the other thing with Boston, and look, their goalies have both been outstanding in Ullmark and Swayman, but their playoff experience isn't very good. You know, or they just don't have a lot of it. That, you know, does that come into fruition come playoff time? I don't know. It's just real.
Let's put it this way. Yeah. What's a price you would have on the Devils in a series like that where you would take the Devils?
I would take the Devils at maybe about 180.
Oh, that's short. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, if you gave me 180 on New Jersey, I would take it.
Okay. Who's your pick to win? Like, who would be your bet right now based on the price?
Well, I think the team that has really surprised me over the last couple of weeks is Edmonton. Before the trade deadline, I would have said no. I would have actually said LA would have been the team that I think could have surprised a lot of people. I think the way that Edmonton is built, and I think that what, you know, they always talk about, you have to lose before you understand what it takes to win.
Yeah.
And what Edmonton and Connor McDavid went through, and Leon Draisaitl, two of the best players in the league, went through last year against Colorado, you watch the way this team is playing this year and the way that they are constructed, Gil, they look like a football team. They are huge.
That's great.
They've got a bunch of guys that are well over, you know, 6'3". Got some guys that are 6'6". And they've got guys that are fast. And you've got the two best players in the league.
Yeah.
You know, so Edmonton is a team that that would be a team right now that I would grab a price on.
Oilers, we're showing 10-1 at BetMGM, but always shop around to win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Connor McDavid, from being the number one pick in the draft back in 2015, runaway leader in points, heavy favorite for the Hart Trophy.
Well,
like
no, Gil, there's the Connor McDavid Hart Trophy, and then
there's everybody else.
There's a trophy that they should just have for a second place. Like, we can just vote for who should be the second.
Is he going to get to like LeBron status where it's like, well, we've given it to him so many times, let's just not give it to him this year kind of thing?
Oh, no, it's done.
No, I'm not talking about this year.
Oh,
I'm talking about in the future.
Well, I mean, it could.
Yeah.
I mean, he's. I think Connor finally realizes everything that it takes to be the greatest player in the world, and we're seeing it.
Oilers trying to win their sixth cup, but their first since 1990, back in their heyday, or at least at the tail end of the heyday years. Okay, what about a long shot? Yesterday when we were talking, we came up with the Kings, Korpisalo in goal now, and so it's like a big deal. What's your long shot play? If I came to you from the future and I said it was none of those teams up at the top, not the Avalanche, not the Bruins, not the Oilers, not the Leafs, who, of course, folks in Toronto want to hear them mentioned every time.
Of course.
Who's the long shot?
Well, I have the Rangers at 18-1.
There you go.
I got that quite some time ago. For me, when you build a championship team in the NHL, you need to have an elite goaltender. The Rangers have that with Shesterkin. You need to have a Norris Trophy defenseman, so the best guy who can win the best defenseman of the year. They have that in Adam Fox, and you've got two good centers. Those are the components that you need to win a cup. They have all of those. They have been struggling to put all their pieces together with the trades they have made, but they have all the components to win it. They're going to have to get through New Jersey, though, in round one, and that's going to be a really fun series.
When we were doing primetime action at night here, Kelly, Matt Brown, and I, Shesterkin was huge, came up huge night after night, it seemed like, when we were watching. Okay, let's do the inverse of that, which is not the long shot, but which of the teams that conventional wisdom has towards the top? Mm-hmm. Bruins, Avalanche, Leafs, Canes, let's throw the Oilers and Devils in there, and then Rangers and beyond, Golden Knights. Which is the most fraudulent of all of those?
Ooh, fraudulent. Well, I hate to use the word fraudulent.
All right, let's use another word.
But
yeah,
Carolina is the team that I'm not buying.
Okay.
I think that there are flaws in that roster. They're missing their second leading scorer in Svechnikov, who got hurt. I don't trust their goaltending. So that's the team to me. I would right now, I like Boston. I like Carolina. I like the Rangers. I think Carolina is, I don't trust them. But they play so hard for their coach. They play like their coach, who could still beat the crap out of most of his players right now.
Still do that.
Rod Brind'Amour is a beast.
Jonathan Davis, everybody. I aired earlier when I said two podcasts. There's one radio show, obviously, on Sirius XM called The Ice Cap. The podcast is the Show Me the Money podcast, wherever podcasts are available. Thank you for stopping by, and thank you more than anything for knowing that it was the second Seder last night.
Oh, of course.
That is excellent knowledge.
Yeah. Hey, you know, tribesmen.
I appreciate that. Okay. Tribesmen know these kinds of things. Next time you're in town, let's do it again.
Absolutely.
If it's during this postseason, let's come on.
Oh,
in
it'll
and
be this
everything.
Postseason. We'll be back here for Vegas.
Because you were in for the Golden Knights game last night.
Yeah, I was in. Oh, yeah.
How often do you do that?
About 5 or 6 times a year.
You're based in L.A.?
Based in L.A.
Oh, okay, so it's a short little
job.
Jonathan, thank you. Appreciate it, man.
Anytime.
Jonathan Davis, everybody, right here on the NHL. We'll come back. We'll update the Masters. Live betting. Are your futures plays looking done? How do you live bet this? We'll talk about that next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Split bets, Brooks Koepka!
Want to know, you're like raftery now. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you smarter, better year-round. Check them out. All of today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. I love it when Nance lets raftery get his moment in. Final four. And a man. Chip Nance. Final game.
That's the greatest compliment I've gotten on my splitting bets yell so far.
The raftery cup?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think I'm going to try to take it to that raftery level.
Oh, Kelly, you're quite welcome.
You are right, though, that it's the Nance step aside to let him do that.
Nance totally steps aside. The raftery just gibberish.
Off the backboard! Jim Nance, man-to-man.
Rich PSM on Twitter. We get tweets. I've stopped betting and watching the NBA. Unreliable players, baseball more interesting, NHL playoffs. Who needs this exhibition league? As Kelly pointed out off air, though, we're really only talking about the last few games of the year here. I mean,
it's an odd time of the season to chime in with that tweet. If you wanted to say to me you feel like that always, then fine.
I think some people do, in fairness.
Yes, people do. Yeah. And I understand it. Well, I get it.
And if you do attend an NBA game, you might just see the guys joking around and on the free throw line, not really caring. So I get it to some degree.
I get it too.
But this is a unique week. Joe Nigro at Joe Nigro 21. Zion's still out. Shocking. And this is a great stat that he gives us. Games played first 3 years. Zion 114. Sam Bowie 119. Ho, that's a stat. What you know about Sam Bowie, Kelly?
A little bit.
Sam Bowie was the number two. Sam Bowie was famously the number two pick in the draft the year that Michael Jordan came out.
That's basically the biggest fact I know about him.
So Akeem went number one to Houston. Can't really blame them for that. Portland decided, because they had Clyde the Glide Drexler, well, we don't need Michael Jordan. We're going to take Sam Bowie out of the University of Kentucky. And Sam Bowie's career was just riddled with leg and foot injuries. And then with the third pick in the draft, the Chicago Bulls selected Michael Jordan. Have you heard of that guy?
And the rest, as they say, is history.
Is history. Let's see. Oh, Sky High.
And they made a movie about a shoe.
And now they made a movie about a shoe without gambling consultants. Sky High. Oh, talking about when I was saying how old I feel with all this load management and, oh, it's the third game in four, it's the fourth and six, everybody, let's give him an excuse. Sky High says, Gil, you don't even have to go back as far as MJ. You'd have never asked that about, you'd have never
asked this about Kobe as well. You're
Hell
right.
No. Yes.
Kobe yeah, wouldn't have. Yeah. You think Kobe, with this Lakers outfit, he'd be like, yeah, well, tough, you know, long flight, snow, in and out of snow. Like Darvin Ham's whole press conference was, you know, snow. Hey, I'm not making excuses, but you are making excuses. Right? The whole time you're saying mm-hmm. that. Let's see. Sean McGivern. Not McGovern, McGivern. Michael Lombardi brought this up yesterday on his podcast and said the Texans aren't on the Stroud bandwagon if Young goes first. Lombardi also said a couple weeks ago that Stroud's agent is also Deshaun Watson's agent. This would complicate matters.
Why is that? Just because nobody wants to deal with that agent anymore?
This is going
to
be fascinating.
Screwed up the NFL?
It's going to be fascinating. That's right. Because you screwed up the entire economic system of the NFL?
I'd actually kind of understand that.
Let's see. Scola underscore 10. It's happened, Gil. He's officially in my head. Anytime any other show has a split in bets read, I immediately hear Kelly Bidlin chime in. It's great.
I joined Jeff Parles and Wes Reynolds on Best Bets yesterday where we were kind of doing Masters coverage today and yesterday we were. Mm-hmm. Parles was so happy to be able to tee that up. He was like, Kelly, splitting bets here? Splitting bets?
I was there.
I was on
he co-opted our splitting bets thing. Max Homa well short on a birdie attempt. He's 200 for the tournament. Logic 3227. Please tell me Todd Wishnev doesn't yell at the screen at the movies like he does at games or the sports book. I don't know. I've never experienced Wishnev in theaters.
That's hilarious.
If he does, I'm walking out. I'm not going to that movie.
Can we talk about the idea of air, though, for a second? Like, the idea that a person is so famous. Like, when you were 13, Gil, if I was like, you're going to be so famous one day, they're going to make a movie about you that stars you and Looney Tunes characters.
Yeah.
And you're going to have a shoe that's the most popular shoe on the planet. And then they're going to make a movie about how that shoe got made. That's your shoe. Like, this Michael Jordan is so ridiculously famous and influential on things that have happened in the course of history. It's incredible.
How old am I when you asked
13.
Me this? I'd be like, does Courtney Friedman talk to me in the movie? Like this girl I had a crush on, 13. That's all I would care about.
That was like a reference I was supposed to know. No, it's just the chick you had a crush on back then. Okay.
That's all I would care about. I'd be like, who cares about the movie? Will she talk to me? Rigolier, don't tell me how I know this is true. And I've never actually watched or seen Wishnev watching a movie, but he's absolutely a yell at the screen when there's the smallest plot holes guy, right? two Wishnev in theater tweets.
I like that. I like the idea of, what's the Family Guy episode where they like say the name of the title of the film? He's like, oh, they said it! I feel like that'd be Wishnev.
Derby Dada is explaining why the NHL is off. He says, my brother from another. Some folks of the Gentile persuasion observe the Friday before Easter Sunday as Good Friday as a day of reflection, which may explain why there are no games today. There you go. That's the explanation, I would assume.
That would make sense.
All right, Kelly.
Another missed birdie putt by Brooks. Come on, man.
you're lamenting missed birdie putts. I'm lamenting missed everything.
Yeah, it's just we're getting serious. I mean, it's John Rahm. He's three shots back. Oh. John Rahm ain't playing around, man. He's coming to kill, too.
By the way, let me just say the weather right now looks like nothing is going to be wrong today.
I know, right?
It looks
gorgeous.
Max Homa for a long par putt. Yes. Still remains 200 for the tournament. Matzo ball soup, the prize next year if he wins this.
That's where I got to do the. I got one feed here and then one behind you, so I have to look through your soul.
That's easy to look through. Okay, so now, for those who are not like you, who don't have Brooks Koepka, who don't have Jason Day, and who have more, how can I put this, non-hopeful futures in pocket, what is the strategy of live betting this? So, like, here's the deal. They say tomorrow's moving day at the Masters, but they say the Masters, just as famously, isn't won till the back nine on Sunday. So do you simply wait for the back nine on Sunday to jump in at a favorable price, or do you do it way before that? Or does it depend on the golfer?
I think it depends on golfers and scores, right? Like where this was a conversation that we planned to have before this show. It gets tougher and tougher to make, I think, live betting advice when you have a guy if Brooks Koepka continues to pull away, right? Like that is – I think Brooks Koepka is a guy, as you brought up earlier, that could, I don't want to say run away and hide, but if he is a guy that has a somehow has a 4-shot lead, 5-shot lead after today, I would be careful trying to bet anybody, almost anybody. I don't know how you feel about that. I know it's been a while.
If he's up that much.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I get back to.
He's a killer, man.
What I said earlier, when he is on, and again, there was a stretch, he won 4 majors and could have won 2 others in like a 2-year stretch. He was unflappable, and we are seeing that today. He's giving nothing back to the field, nothing.
And I would feel that way if it was John Rahm, Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, you know. But like Brooks Koepka, just because we've seen him do it before, as you're pointing out.
Okay, what if it's Rahm? We'll take Scheffler out because he's so far back right now. But what if it's Rahm who's the closest?
I like that one. Okay, if Rahm is like 2 shots back at Koepka or something.
Oh, that's a different story.
I think it's a bet. I think it's a bet on Rahm.
Okay, let's reverse that. What if it's Koepka up 3 over someone not named Rahm? Let's say it's Jason Day, who did have a great career, has had a great career, but is not in the peak of his career, but is having a resurgence here. What's like, I don't know, you go in the back, if you go to the back 9, he's got a 3-stroke lead and he's, I don't know, what's the price you bet at that point on Koepka where you're so confident in him, you're like, I'm willing to lay this.
So that's an interesting matchup you just served up, because I think Jason Day would be very live.
He's got the ability.
He's got the ability. I mean, he's a guy who's come in here. He hasn't finished worse than 19th, I think, all season. Like, this guy is cruising. He is heading on, just like Koepka, much like Koepka, on his way back to where he was at one point in his career. I mean, well,
who might
be jumping the gun with Brooks there.
Yeah. Who don't you trust? Hovland? Like what's the who are the guys up on top?
Hovland and Cameron Young, I don't trust.
You don't trust them.
Matt Brown pointed this out on Twitter today, that he thought the books were underrating Cameron Young too much. I think that might be true. I still would not bet him. I wouldn't have any interest in betting Hovland or Cameron Young.
And by the way, the one name
they
that
have
we,
the talent.
The one name that we never bring up, who is, well, we don't when we talk majors broadly, but I know you guys do on long shots all the time because Matt Brown can't go a tournament without betting him. Sam Burns doesn't get the mainstream media juice that he deserves, and yet he lurks. Would you trust him, though, in the late stages of a major trying to win his first?
Man, that's a tough spot, but yes, because this guy can score. He's one of those guys that can go low at any time.
Yeah, he's 6 back right now.
He's had a weird season, though. It hadn't been going well these past few weeks. He's heated up, really.
Nice little approach shot from him, though. He's got a birdie opportunity to get within 5 of Brooks Koepka as Sam Burns tackles the 5th hole in his 2nd round. Let's talk some UFC. Great main and co-main. We'll do it next, right here on A Numbers Game at Visa.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping of all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. We get tweets. That beating the book, always appreciated. Love all you guys, man. Best listeners of any show ever in the history of mankind. Is that correct? Would you
agree
great. With that?
We appreciate all of it.
And nothing better than a tweet like this. Banshees of Atlantic City. He's quoting me. He said, Phil Mickelson looks like a crooked cop is a hilarious line. I can totally see him getting tense when he spots Serpico in the crowd or stepping away from the tee to have a threatening phone call with John Book from the grain silo of an Amish farm. So many references in there. It's great. J-Rod, that was the most energy on a splitting bets by Kelly Bidlin in easily 6 months. Well done. Big shout out from J-Rod. Jason DeHart, nothing against former producers on the show, but Kelly Bidlin is by far my favorite. You and he have the best chemistry. I was having a rough day as my mom died yesterday. Thanks for the laughs. Oh, Jason, our condolences, man.
Oh, man, yeah. Sorry, Jason.
If we can in any way make that a distraction, we've done our job. But, man, our condolences. Ian McDonald, the 84 draft made sense at the time because the league was one with bigs, Gil. No, you're right. That's what I was trying to say. At number 2, the Blazers wanted to pair a big with Drexler, as I mentioned. And at number 3, the Bulls wanted to pair a perimeter player with Granville Waiters. Oh, my God. This is, for those who were of a certain age, Granville Waiters was one of these players, Kelly, before it became fashionable to shave your head when you had bald, when you had male pattern baldness. So he was, he had like a, he looked like George Jefferson out there. I swear to God.
Yeah, just pulling up a picture.
Oh my God.
That is a great look.
Jordan Sherwood joins us. He knows a thing or two about Chicago sports back in the day. Let's talk some UFC 287. How you doing, Jordan?
I'm good. I just had to like refresh my memory on that roster that Michael Jordan joined, and then quite the list of names. Orlando Woolridge, obviously the one that's, that stands yes. out that Jordan joined on that one.
Yeah. Oof, boy, oh boy. Jordan had to score 63 in the playoffs to make that team competitive back in the day. All right. This is a sneaky good main and co-main. You'll tell us about everything before that, but let's start there, and let's start with the main event. This is the rematch, Alex Pereira, Israel Adesanya. The first of which, Adesanya loses, but one could argue, you tell me if I'm wrong, that he probably won 4.5 rounds of that and was ahead on the scorecards. We know that part for a fact. He's a slight favorite here. He was a bigger favorite first go-round. He's minus 135 is Adesanya. Pereira plus 115 on the comeback. How do you see this one going?
Yeah, I mean, Adesanya was winning that fight pretty convincingly. You could make the argument if he had 5 more seconds in the first round, he would have finished Alex Pereira, and he was well on his way to a unanimous decision victory until Pereira, you know, got him against the cage and landed that nuke of a left hand that, you know, now has to go into the handicap. A lot of people asked and were questioning Pereira, who cuts a lot of weight. How would his cardio hold up in that first fight? And obviously it did, because he carried that power into the championship rounds. I think the question now you have to ask is, does Israel Adesanya wrestle more? He wrestled a little bit, and it was to his advantage, and it's why he was winning on the judges' scorecards, because traditionally he's not a wrestler. He's obviously a kickboxer. So does he wrestle more, and is Pereira more ready for that? Because Pereira also did wrestle as well. Everything points to Israel Adesanya winning this fight because of just how great of a champion he is, his athleticism, his kickboxing acumen, the fact that he's been in there with the best of the best and won. But the thing is, in this sport, Gil, some guys just have someone else's number. And Alex Pereira has beaten Israel Adesanya now 3 times in combat sports. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the last time in the UFC. So My head and my heart both say that Israel Adesanya is going to reclaim the middleweight championship. There's significant value for sure. This is the lowest he's ever been in a fight in quite some time. But how can you not take Alex Pereira just knowing that if he lands one punch as the underdog, he's going to likely retain the title.
So you're saying ownage could be a factor here. So the other thing that I've heard people batting around here is the total rounds 4.5, which the under is slightly juiced at minus 130. Because you have the theory of what you were just saying. Well, you know, Adesanya will go to the ground with him. It'll go the distance. But then the one punch possibility, right, of Pereira, the one event knockout here, do you want to touch that at all as a result?
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, if you like the over, then I think you clearly like Israel Adesanya, and you know,
correlation. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, and Adesanya's had finishes before, but not lately. Like lately he's been a guy that's been going 5 rounds and just outpointing guys, out, you know, scoring when he needs to, and winning that. So and that was going to be the result of their last fight. So I think it's a nice little, probably, I guess, hedge approach. I Pereira at plus money, I still has to be considered, but I agree. I think the over 3.5, certainly very, very much worth a look, and even the over at 4.5, believing that both of these guys just, you know, obviously so familiar with each other as well, are going to go to the judges' scorecards, and then likely that result is Israel Adesanya winning.
Okay, co-main. For those of us who really warmed to UFC during the pandemic, Gilbert Burns was one of the big breakout stars, if you will, during that period. He's a minus 450 favorite in the co-main welterweight bout against Jorge Masvidal, who is, Kelly's the king of Miami, we're all told. The king of Miami.
I guess, like, add him to the list of 10 people that are the kings of
the
Miami.
The kings of Miami, that's right. Burns deserved to be this big of a favorite, in your opinion, Jordan?
Yeah, he absolutely does. And I can also attest to Kelly being the king of Miami. I've been a couple of trips down to South Florida with him back in the day. Gilbert Burns is kind of just better everywhere. than Jorge Masvidal. I think the interesting thing will be like this. This fight card was built around Masvidal. I mean, he obviously has a lot of the fandom down in South Florida. He's going to have the crowd behind him. But I believe the stories are true. And the stories that I'm hearing are this is it for Masvidal. That win or lose, he's going to hang up the gloves. I don't like knowing that. And I don't like the mentality of a fighter thinking about what's next for them after a fight and a fight of this caliber, especially a fight where Gilbert Burns needs to go out there and look impressive. Masvidal's a guy that doesn't get finished often. Yes, he did get knocked out by Kamaru Usman a few fights ago. And he's rarely been submitted. I mean, the one time he was submitted was an inverted triangle choke several years ago. No one's ever heard of that submission since then. But I
sounds painful.
Inverted triangle choke.
Go look at the video. Toby Amada pulled it off in Bellator way back in the day. But here's the thing. Like, if Masvidal's thinking about retirement and his mind is elsewhere, and look, he's made his money. No one ever thought he'd be this high profile of a fighter at this point in his career. I think you can't look at Gilbert Burns straight up. Yeah, fine, stuff him in the parlay. But I think you got to look at Burns inside the distance. Yeah. I truly believe that. I think Masvidal's just showing up, going to grab a paycheck and move on to something else. So I like Gilbert Burns and probably via submission, plus 290, I'm seeing it, or plus 225, you see there on the screen. I think that's the play. That's the play. Gilbert Burns is going to go out there and look impressive.
Yeah, you're right. Like, how can you fight? How can you fight one of these if your mind is elsewhere? If you've already moved on? And by the way, for those who missed the detail, it is in Miami, thus the King of Miami, Jorge Masvidal angle that some people have on it. All right, we got 90 seconds here, Jordan. About the rest of the card, either on the main card or the prelims or the early prelims, what do you like best?
Yeah, I think you have to look at a combination of Raul Rosas Jr. He's 18 years old, but there's a reason why he's opening up the main card. This is a showcase fight for him. He's a big-time favorite, but I think you couple him along with a Kevin Holland, who's also on the main card. A little bit of a risk because that sometimes Kevin Holland, you know, lays an egg inside the octagon, but he's just better. He's a bad matchup for Santiago Ponzinibbio. So I think a combination of both those guys on the main event, the opener and then the welterweight feature, the second card on the pay-per-view. Holland's athleticism, carrying power for three rounds, and Ponzinibbio has not been the same for quite some time. So I like those guys in a parlay. And if you need me to throw out an underdog, I think Rob Font is live on that main card. This is a step up in competition for Adrian Yanez. Font has some of the best boxing we have, not just in the division, but in the sport. It's going to be a stand-up fight, and I think Rob Font's boxing could surprise Yanez.
Rob Font, about plus 155 on there. Anything else below that, Jordan, or we're leaving it at that?
I think that's what I really like.
Okay.
If you need one more play, Chris Curtis, the last fight on the prelims against Calvin Gastelum. It's about a pick 'em, maybe a little bit plus money for the action man. Just Calvin Gastelum's not winning fights. He's like 1-5 in his last six. Curtis is a little bit on a surge right now, winner of five of his last six. So I like the action man.
Jordan, always great to see you, man. Enjoy the fights.
All right, you as well. Thanks for having me, Gil.
Jordan Sherwood, everybody, at Wood on ESPN 1000, co-host of the Unnamed MMA podcast. Proud to call him a VEASAN contributor as well.
Right. Yeah. Rob Font sounds like the most boring font style ever.
It's really...
It's like, hey, what font is that? It's Rob.
I'm a Times Roman guy myself. Maybe you like the Rob font. You get a better price on the Rob font for sure. You think you'll bet this?
Oh,
after
yeah.
Golf on? I absolutely will be betting some of this. Saturday night, tomorrow night. We'll come back. Chris Velika, the Bear. Fox's Chris Velika on the other side with all his bets. Numbers Game, VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points. You can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20. MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800. Gambler. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from the South Point. Brooks Koepka has done it again. Birdies, the 13th hole. to go 11 under for the tournament, 4 under on the day, 11 under for the tournament, 4-stroke lead, 4-shot lead over Jason Day and Victor Hovland and John Rahm, the latter two of which have not teed off yet. And again, the weather's pristine still here on a Friday. On a Friday where chance of precipitation a little later is supposed to be close to 100%, but it looks beautiful out there.
It really does.
And Brooks is just scoring away in the meantime. And again, I said this a little earlier, he is threatening to run away and hide at this point. I hate to say it, with a 4-stroke lead on a Friday, but my goodness, he just doesn't give anything back.
Yeah, Jeff, he's looking solid right now. Those trees are still, sun's out. I'm with you. Like, there's no wind. It's sunny.
It's going to rain today? Really? You could fool me. But this is how it goes in the East Coast, right? Like, it changes real quick this time of year. Meanwhile, Rory McIlroy, who we haven't mentioned, and for a reason, he is 3-over for the tournament.
Yep.
The career slam ain't going to happen this year, by all indications.
Oh, three. Yeah, he just added that third. You're right. Jeez.
Yeah. And for Brooks Koepka, this would, if it holds, which is a big if, obviously we have a long way to go, but if it holds, this would be his third different major, his fifth overall major. It'd be his third different major that he would have won. Obviously, he won the PGA twice. He won the U.S. Open twice. So only the Open Championship would be between him and a career slam if this holds. Your boy Sam Burns just birdied. But again, he's still 6 back because, again, Brooks is just motoring on. Obviously, John Rahm and Victor Hovland will have something to say about it. Let's bring in the bear, everybody. Chris Felica from Fox to join us, our old friend. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing well, and yeah, you're doing your best to put the whammy on Kelly's.
That's exactly what I'm doing.
He just put a great drive on 14, and he's got 15 left to play. So you would think that he should be able to post at least 12 by the end of this round. And who knows what the it's funny. I was working out earlier and on the treadmill walking. I got as soon as he hit 10. I play first round leader. I mean, second round leader at minus 140. Then I hit it again at minus 175, and now I think it's 275 or so to be second round leader because you just don't know with that weather. And if he's 5 shots clear of Hovland and Rahm before those guys tee off, like it's not a sexy bet. It's not a huge plus money bet, but sometimes you just got to take what they give you.
So smart of you, and Kelly and I immediately go into head shaking mode. And Kelly, let's say if we're thinking the same thing, is because there's two things. One, we're doing a show, but two, we just don't have that available, do we? Rampantly here in town.
There is one book
that has it.
Boyd. Yeah,
there is one book.
Yeah, Boyd. Yeah, that has it in town. Otherwise, we're just out of luck on that. What did
I'm
you?
Sorry.
You had a whole bunch of bets going into today, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I mean, again, these numbers, I'm sure, are gone. I played Tiger over 72.5 today because he's getting off later. Like Cantley over 71.5. Like Cam Young over 72.5. I played JT over 72.5. And then I played Shane Lowry in a matchup with Patrick Reed, minus 120, and Xander Schauffele in a matchup over Patrick Cantley, and was minus 110. And then I played Lowry in the 3-ball against Peters and Mackenzie Hughes at plus 110. So that's what I played today. That's what still hasn't teed off. Like I said, the numbers are probably gone and moved, so I'm sorry. I just wanted to get you some stuff last night. But, that's where I am right now with the golf. And there are probably some people out there sweating some make-miss-cut parlay there with Rory right on the bad side of the number right now.
What's your biggest futures, your outright position? Do you have any Koepka or no?
Yes, I got Koepka yesterday. I played him at 22.50.
Nice.
It was what I got him at. So that was relatively early, so I'm happy about that. I played Rahm at plus 310 yesterday. I played two guys before the tournament, just long. Sungjae Im at 45-1 and Minwoo Lee at 65-1. Just small bets because if they did get off to a good start, those numbers were going to go away. But the big bets that I made were Rahm at plus 310 and then Koepka yesterday at plus 22.
I think I speak for everybody without a Koepka ticket. Anytime you're ready to give a couple back here, Brooksy, you just feel free.
As long as he leads at the end of the round today, I'll take that.
Oh, okay, we'll make that compromise. All right, you obviously are most associated. I know how much you love golf. By the way, Chris Felica holds the record, maybe for appearances on this show, but certainly for number of sports betting angles, like eight sports deep on this show, for real. From like horse racing to tennis to golf. But obviously,
Keeneland opens today, by the way. It's going to be a great afternoon.
Oh.
Go watch golf, watch horse racing, watch tennis. Fire away. It's going to be an awesome afternoon.
Where does Chris Felica do all that? On his couch with some food? What do you do?
Oh yeah. I'll be on my couch just down there. I have one of those raised tables in front of me. So I'll raise the table, fire the laptop up.
Yeah.
At the TV.
Oh get man.
It. And actually, you're going to appreciate this. Good Friday, by my neighbor. Who was Jewish? She texted last night. She's like, "I'm packing up your matzo ball soup for lunch tomorrow." So my neighbor's actually going to bring me over some matzo ball soup for lunch. So
that's awesome.
I'll be firing away on action, having some matzo ball soup from my Jewish mother neighbor.
That is awesome, so great.
We love Andrea.
It's always great to have a Jewish mother neighbor. Okay, but the one sport that you're most associated with, obviously, is none of the ones we've mentioned. It's college football, which you, of course, will be assuming your role on Fox's college football shows on Saturdays, just like you used to do at game day at ESPN. And you have actually dipped your toe in the water. You've made a college football bet.
I did. I was fooling around the other night, and I saw a stray 70-1 on Oklahoma to win the national title. And while I don't necessarily think Oklahoma is going to win the national title, I mean, you look at that league with how balanced it is, how many toss-up games they were in last year, one possession game that didn't go well. The only games that they were really blown out were the games that Dylan Gabriel didn't play because he got hurt. So they're going to be in a lot. They were in a lot of one possession games. Gabriel's back. They did a good job in the portal. The Gray is gone at running back, but the kids that played in that bowl game against Florida State, who everybody loves this year, they were right in that game until the very end. So, and schedule-wise, Oklahoma misses Kansas State and Texas Tech, two teams that have given them a world of problems in recent years. So we saw TCU make a run from off the radar last year, and I think it's 70-1. Like, if Oklahoma can win the Big 12, they're going to be in the playoffs, and that's a ticket you could do something with. So, yeah, fooled around with a little 70-1 in Oklahoma to win the national title.
Yeah, just refresh our memory. This is the last year of the four-team playoff coming up?
No, I believe there's one more.
One more after?
It feels like it's gone back and forth so many times.
Yeah.
I think 24 is the final. This is the last year Oklahoma and Texas are in the Big 12.
Right.
So
that
might be what we're – but I'm pretty sure 25 starts the expanded playoff, and there's Koepka again with another
look at this
great shot.
Look
on,
at this, a
great
dime.
Shot on 14.
Yeah, he'll have another birdie opportunity.
Uphill. That's a great look for birdie there.
Look at that guy. What do you say? That's about 15 feet away for a bird.
I mean, probably. Straight uphill looks. Yeah.
This guy, unflappable. Well, I'm glad you explained your Oklahoma bet, because you know there's always a portion of the audience that, as soon as you say Oklahoma on a futures play, there's a groan that comes up. Right, it elicits a groan from people. Like, are we going to do this every year? But I mean, the logic holds true, right?
That's not me, because I was about as anti Oklahoma as you could be last year on their season win total. And people, I was like 9 or something, or 9.5. I'm like, who are they losing to? I'm like, they could lose to anybody, and it was a relatively easy cash. But I think this is a year where they'll bounce back a little bit in Brett's and Venable's second year, and Lebby staying there to, of course, work with Jackson Arnold, the highly touted recruit that they brought in a quarterback as well. So I think better days are ahead for the Sooners.
All right, Chris, enjoy your day. Enjoy your weekend. We're all going to be doing the same thing. We're all going to be chilling on the couch. Don't call me, I'll call you kind of attitude with everybody.
Exactly.
What a great weekend of sports. And you got Gulfstream as well, man. Enjoy.
Keeneland. And then, of course, the final weekend to the NBA. And you guys are talking about betting up before. And it's so important to watch, to read that market report and the market moves, just to see where the money is, trying to get ahead of some of the moves there.
Felica gets it in. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Take care.
Chris Felica, the Bear, doing his thing at Fox now. Do you like a Chris Felica from Fox more than you like a Chris Felica from ESPN, Kelly?
Love him at Fox.
Yeah?
Just so much great guys.
He's unhinged now. Yeah. I love it. We've done all we can do. The Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy the Masters. Good luck with your bets. Visa, the sports betting app.